Hello, everybody. Welcome to Self Help Show. This is Gina, and I'm your host. Welcome to the home of self-love, self-care, self-empowerment, self-healing, all about the self. And I did promise I will always have experts on the show. And today I have a special guest. His name is Derek Newborn. He is a transformational coach. He's an author and also a top fitness trainer, or should I say former? He has helped over 300 women, and he is also based in Florida. I think, let me hand over to you, Derek, so you can tell us everything about you. Don't leave anything out.
Let's go. Oh, boy. Yeah. So I help women transform physically and mentally and emotionally. But it kind of way before that, I had to deal with some childhood abandonment issues. And before I was aware of them, I created a path of self-sabotage and created my own issues and struggles in my life, and finally got to a rock bottom point where I had to do some serious transformational work and dig really deep and get authentic and honest with myself. And then I noticed that was kind of a repeated pattern before me within my family, with my mother specifically. And from there, naturally, it just kept evolving into helping more and more people essentially overcome the things that I overcame. And being raised by a single mom, I had some powerful insight and really started to figure out, you know, what did my mom need during those times? And from that, this platform and program that I created has been able to help hundreds and hundreds of women physically, mentally, emotionally transform and become their best versions of themselves that they thought either never existed or they had forgot about.
That is amazing. And I've also done my research. So you are well known for bold truth telling, and you also have a heart-centered coaching style which fuses the masculine presence with deep emotional intelligence, which I wish all men had. So thank you so much for being that person.
Absolutely.
So today we are unpacking some of the two interconnected themes which I feel like we need to discuss. So the first topic is the hidden burnout of high functioning women present. And then the other part is, you are not broken, you are buried. How to unearth the woman you were before the trauma. So Derek, I welcome you, and it is an honor to have you on the Self Help Show. So
appreciate you.
Please, let's go straight into it. The hidden burnout that nobody talks about.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you know, but right, especially women, they carry more than their fair share on all levels, the physical, right, the mental, the emotional. And, you know, I really see it as like women are put in this place where they always have to perform in some way, shape or form, right? Not just at the job level, but as a partner level, as a mother, as a sister or friend, right? If you really think about it, society's very quick to judge or criticize or put women in like a specific category and without really understanding what they're trying to navigate. So, you know, women that are high performing, they're high performing for a reason because they figured out how to get what they need, get what they want, all of those things. But usually that comes at a cost that starts way before they get to the point of realizing, oh, I'm on the verge of burnout. It usually stems from something most likely in childhood that they forgot about. It doesn't have to be some great, crazy trauma, but something very small that where they essentially put on a costume so that they could navigate life safely to the best of their ability based on what they experienced up to that point. And so would you spend most of your life operating for that costume but not realizing you have this costume on? That costume is going to attract a certain type of energy, a certain type of person, a certain type of life that you can only carry so long because it's a costume that's attracting it. It's not actually you. And that's where the burnout comes, because you're constantly running around in a costume. Like if I put a big, heavy, weighted suit on, I can only run so fast and so far, right? If I take that big, heavy suit off, I can run a lot faster, a lot easier, and a lot farther. And that's why it's so common for high-performing women to get to that point of burnout. But then the downfall to that is, you know, once acknowledging that you're at the verge of burnout is one thing. It's very easy to feel like now you have to do more. I'm at burnout, so now I need to do all this. I need to do all this self-care. I need to exercise more. I need to eat right. I need to fix all this. That's just piling more on the costume that already got you to the burnout in the first place. But it's very hard. Like one of the first thing I ask anyone in the program is the simple question of who are you, right? And they'll say, you know, I'm a high performing woman. I'm a business owner. I'm a great mother. I'm a great friend. All those are actual just attachments, right? I'm asking who you were the moment you were put on this earth. That's very hard for women to answer.
Yeah.
Costume on for so long. But that's actual, that is the key to overcoming the burnout, is reconnecting to who you actually are, not all these attachments that you picked up along the way.
Yeah. And I was going to go, like, it's like you read my mind, because my next question was going to be, how is it that most high functioning women, they struggle to even see that they're in their burnout phase and let alone admit it? Because you may have these friends and you try to say, friend, chill, friend, calm down, like, you know, take it easy, but they can't see it. What is that, some sort of coping mechanism? Is it like,
yeah,
what is it?
Right. They've always had to do more. They've always had to perform to get to this point. So that's going to be the natural go-to once they reach this challenge of burnout. What do I need to do next? And it's always piling more on the plate. Then usually by the time they realize they're burnout, if we give them one, they're like, oh, I've been burned out for a while.
Yeah.
But that's the main thing, is once you get to that point, they fall into the trap of just doing more that already created the burnout, just in different variations. So maybe instead of working so much, now they just go to the gym a whole bunch. They just switch the tool, right? They just switch the coping mechanism.
It sounds like you're talking about me, but anyway.
Feeling attacked.
I think even me avoiding to speak about it is already a problem, because usually with most episodes, I always talk about my experiences and what I'm going through, but now I'm resisting. Like, I don't want to talk about it.
It's going to be a long show if you're not going to be talking.
So now there's something that I read from some of your posts and maybe from your community and sharing. You often say the body keeps score, but so does the soul. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? So what are some of the early signs that can show up in a woman's body that, you know, they are burnt out, they're stressed, they're just over compensating? What are some of those things?
Super common is inflammation to any degree, because if you think about what goes on in the body with inflammation, is the body, there's something in the body that doesn't feel safe, so the cells in your body have to start overcompensating and trying to protect it. So there's an aspect of you that doesn't feel safe in your current environment, whether it's a relationship, whether it's the path you're on, whether it's a job, but also 99% of like hormonal imbalances are because of the things we've never addressed in our body, the emotional issues. There's a lot of guilt and shame that we keep in our intestines. There's a lot of things that we keep in our throat. There's a lot of things that we keep, especially women in their reproductive systems, because there's guilt and shame based on something else prior to that, whether issues or anything of that nature. So you can always trace it back, depending on where they're feeling something in the body, you can always trace it back to an emotional cause. So, but either way, it's your body telling you that it's not safe in some area.
Yeah, that is so true. Oh my God. So what are some of the things, maybe like a tip or two that you can share to alleviate all of those things? Like, where can one start from?
I mean, there's so many. It depends on each person. But if you have inflammation in your body, it depends on like what they're currently doing. So inflammation in the body, if they're working a lot and not exercising, start exercising in the sense of coming from a place of, I have this capable body and using it, not exercising because I don't like the way I look. Those are two different energy pathways.
Yes.
Right. So usually, or it can be something simple as helping them remember what they used to do as a child, because as a child, you're present. You have you just do whatever you want, whether it's climbing trees, building forts, playing with dolls or whatever. And again, through a conversation, if you can figure out what they were doing as a child, there's a reason why they naturally did it, because it's part of their gifts and purpose. And have them reconnect to something like that. So like I've had women that reconnected with bike riding. They used to just ride off and explore on their bikes as kids. So now they're getting back to like mountain biking and stuff and doing those things. And you'll be surprised at how much the body responds to the things that we enjoyed long before the attachments, because there's a connection there that was there before any of these belief systems and costumes. And your body will recognize it.
Oh, wow. That is so beautiful. So it's so simple. It's like easy, just connecting with your inner childhood and doing the things that you love the most. I think I need to pull out my needs and my wool.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Once, especially when the program, once they get gone, they're like, oh, it's the process is simple, but simple and easy are two different things, right? So you can look at it and be like, oh, that's simple, but that doesn't necessarily make it easy, because most of the women I work with, they have spent decades and decades under these costumes and never having the understanding of who they are. So that's actually the most unfamiliar and scary thing to them, right? Because we'll always, every decision we make, men or women, comes down to safety. What's the safest decision? Not the best decision, but what's the safest decision? Most familiar decision. And so simple and easy, two different things.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. Let's go into the next segment of this discussion, which is us digging into like the phrase, you are not broken, you're buried. Where did that come from? Can you maybe give us your context and have the listeners kind of understand what that means?
Yeah. So broken, not buried, planted, not buried. We're all conditioned to, especially nowadays with social media and stuff, to think something is wrong with us, right? So even if we've, you know, done things we're not proud of, right? But it's very easy for us to find something wrong with us, right? We're quick to judge. We can pull out all our flaws and all of that stuff, right? So let's just say we know that we're a people pleaser, right? Like I'm broken. I'm just a people pleaser. I stay in these terrible relationships. I let people mistreat me, all of that stuff, right? It's very easy for us to focus on that and keep replaying that loop. But if you dive a little deeper into it, there's a reason why you have this thing of people pleasing. It's because, right, you learned that at a young age for whatever reason, you became a people pleaser, right? So if you list out all the qualities of a people pleaser, right? And so you list out your flaws, right? Once you have that list of these perceived flaws, if you literally write the exact opposite of those flaws, you will actually find that they're in complete alignment with how you remember yourself as a child.
Wow.
Now, as we said earlier, right, as a child, you're just naturally displaying your gifts and purposes. You don't care about anything else you're doing, whatever, right? So that shows you that at some point there was a direct attack from the enemy, devil, whatever you want to call it, on your gifts and purposes. So, but it also shows you that because you're able to come up with that list, both lists, the positive and the negative, that original girl still lives inside of you. There's nothing actually broken. It's just a costume. So instead of feeling like you have to recreate or become a new woman, you just have to remember the woman that's been there.
Yeah. Okay. This kind of, I love how you've put it out or how you've laid it out, but then it also kind of, I don't know if I should bring this up, but it's like, yes, there's that inner girl, right? How about if that inner girl has scars, right? Maybe the inner girl faced trauma and faced abuse and faced so many things. How can you tell that to a 36-year-old woman, 40-year-old woman that, hey, if you want to reignite the spark and be the woman you were before the trauma, you have to reconnect with this inner child. But then if you go back to that inner child is bruised.
Yeah.
So how does that work? How do you kind of...
Yeah. So it's a process, right? It's one thing to remember the inner child that experienced all these terrible things, right?
Mm.
That's like the last version that we remember. Mm. But through work, There's different types of ways to go about visualization, all these things. But just because that's the child you remember, there's also a child right before that terrible thing. And then that's the work, is getting them to reconnect with that girl. So first we go back to the girl, right? So let's say, I'll give you like a actual example, right? Like childhood sexual abuse, right? Obviously terrible. And so the woman I worked with, we got her back to, right, that child that felt super shamed and guilty and embarrassed and dirty, undeserving, all of that stuff. So number one, we have to go back and help her understand who she is, because through the visualization, all that, like this little girl was like, had this huge, dirty, muddy blanket on her that she had to carry around everywhere, right? And so first we have to give that girl permission to take it off. So we have a meeting of the present day woman and then this trauma child, right?
Right.
So this present day woman is able to come back to her, let her know that she's safe and it's a future version. This is how it all works out. Everything's good. And then that's one aspect. Now that trauma child and this future version can go back and reconnect with the pre-trauma child and all come in sync. So the trauma child feels seen, heard, loved, supported. Her experience wasn't discarded.
Yeah.
So let it know that that wasn't her, wasn't part of her.
Right.
And we also
okay.
back the younger child, and then they all become in sync. And then
yeah.
the body relaxes. The whole, everything about them resets. If that makes sense. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It does. So this is more on a like a nervous system level, spiritual level, energetic level. How do you kind of
a spiritual level is the deepest level, right? We have to go to the root of it, which is a spiritual, and then above that is the nervous system, and then the physical, and then the mental. So instead of like keep putting band-aids on things, we get to the root. Fix the root of the problem, and then all those other symptoms, right? Which is
yeah.
the guilt, the shame, the emotions,
mm-hmm.
the issues in the body. Those are the symptoms of this thing that mm-hmm. has never been addressed.
Right. That's beautifully articulated.
Right.
So now I want to talk about the masculine role and the healing polarity. So this is either the masculine energy, the feminine energy, and then talk about what women mostly from during this recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those.
So just about the masculine and feminine in general, or within women specifically?
In general. Sorry, one second. I can hear it myself. It only started.
What is it? You broke up.
So I can hear like the echo of my voice from your sound. It only started recently. It wasn't there before.
What about now?
I think it's gone.
Is it gone? It's gone now?
Yes, it's gone. Yes. Let me ask again, because I'll have to cut this part out. So I was asking the role, the masculine role and healing polarity. So what are the dynamics that you see between the masculine energy and the feminine energy in the burnout healing? That's one question. Then the second question is for us women. What do we need most from men during this recovery? So this either applies to women that are married, women that are in relationship, and single women as well, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, really right now, when I look at the world and observe everything, the dynamics of relationships, marriage, single, whatever, there's a huge imbalance. Pretty much for the reason that we've been talking about is there's very few people that can answer the question, who are you, right? Men or women, right? So if we're all strolling around with these costumes, all we're doing is showing up, guessing what costume the other person will accept, right? That's how we become people pleasing, all of that stuff, right? But then when we get that costume and they accept us, then we get mad and frustrated because they're showing up to the costume of people pleasing. So they make, we've become a people pleaser. Like, I don't know why they do that to me, but it's what we showed up with. So that means we have to overcompensate, right? So women have to go way far in their masculine in order for themselves to feel safe and comfortable. If men are out of their masculine because they have guilt, shame, or whatever, same thing, trauma that hasn't been addressed, they're seeking masculine from a woman that she's not supposed to be able to give, but she's able to give it because she had to compensate for her imbalance. So then that's why there's so much friction. That's why everybody has all these, says crazy things about the dating world or marriages these days, or divorce rate is so high, it's because nobody's showing up to the table as themselves.
Yeah.
There's things that we keep hid instead of us, right? Because none of us are responsible for the terrible things that happen to us, but we are responsible for how we heal from it. We are responsible for what we do with it, right? So whether we carry it around and use it to call ourselves unworthy, unqualified, or whatever, or we use it to do the exact opposite and say, because of these things, now I know who I am, right? So it's a matter of everybody showing up to a party with costumes on, and nobody even knows what anybody is until years down the road, you're in a marriage, you're like, this is only getting worse, because we're just putting on more and more costumes, and we're just pointing fingers instead of pointing them this way. What do I need to do to change this?
Yeah, you've said it right again. Like that's the best explanation I've heard of what's currently happening, like in the dating scene right now. There's so many costumes, so many multicolored costumes that transform in real time at laser speed. You cannot even keep up. You can't keep up.
Yeah, exactly. And so everybody's just overcompensating. And then the more you overcompensate, the more you're the farther you are from that original version of yourself.
Okay, I was going to ask you, like, what is the solution? But I feel like we're all just, I don't know. What do you think is the solution?
So here's, again, one of the most powerful tools, and as basic and as simple as it is. So like, if each one of us wrote down everything we say to ourselves when we mess up our life or things go wrong in our life, you'll have a whole list, right? That's not hard for us to do. And then same thing, write the exact opposite of these things that we tell ourselves when things go wrong. And then from there, you'll have this list of pretty much positive words, thoughts, or whatever. And then do a audit on your life of how many things in my life make me feel any of these things on this list of the positive, and you'll find very, very few, right? So then you're able to decide, okay, what would make me feel like this if I had this in my life? And then you can at least get a framework of where to go from there.
Okay, makes sense. So guys, if you're listening, please, you have to do this homework. It's very important.
One of the first things you do in the program, that exact exercise.
It's very important. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. We're coming to the end of this recording. I really kind of found myself lost in this discussion. I think it was really beautiful and well articulated. I even had one discussion with an author. I think I'll leave that to the mystery so people can go listen to the episode. But we spoke about dating, and he was talking about how, you know, women and men and how, you know, the dating scene and how everything is just, you know, strange. And for you to actually also just confirm the same thing, that we are walking around wearing different costumes, and because nobody wants to put their costume down, that's why we have these problems. And if we can all just start taking these costumes down, that will help every single person. Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any relationship advice? Are you currently in one? Mm-hmm. How is that going?
Yeah.
And share with us.
Yeah. I'm in a relationship now, a beautiful relationship. I was single for years because prior to, based on unhealed abandonment issues and stuff, I was lying and cheating in relationships. And that kind of took me to a rock bottom. I had to rebuild myself. And so for a long time, I told myself I wasn't worthy or deserving of love and all of that stuff. And I went through my whole process. Now I'm in a relationship. It's amazing, way more than I could ask for. And now this relationship is just really like a testament to everything, number one, we've talked about, but everything I help women with. Once you put your costumes down, then the right people can find you.
I believe so. Wow. First of all, congratulations on that, because for me, I feel like it's the biggest fulfillment right now. Like, before, people chase Lamborghinis, they chase the high-rise buildings, they chase the yachts and whatever, but chasing that with an empty heart and a broken soul will just have you living and reliving that nightmare for so long. So the fact that you have this, we need to start congratulating people that are in fulfilling relationships, because that is like one pillar in life that is so important, that if we can all get right, then we won't have a lot of these problems.
Yeah. And actually, really quick, I literally just made a post about this yesterday, essentially about the greatest mistake we all make when it comes to love is we think love is finding the right person or being in the right relationship. Love is understanding that that already exists inside of you.
Yeah.
It's not something out there. When you understand that it's inside of you, that's what you get, that's what you attract.
Yeah.
You think it's something, or you say, you know, oh, I hope or I wish one day, all you're always going to be on that chase. Once you realize that love is inside of you, all of us have love inside of us the moment we got here. It's part of our creation. And so once you understand that, you put your costume down because you know love's already inside of me.
Yeah.
And then you'll attract somebody that understands that love's inside of them, and your relationship then transcends both of you guys and sends energy into other people that wakens them to the love inside of them.
Yeah. That is so beautiful. If you ever do a retreat or call me.
Okay. I will.
I will come to I will.
We do a we have one coming up in April. We do one every year, a 3-day in-person retreat. I'll send you the info on it.
Okay, that sounds awesome. So there's this thing that I do with every guest before the end of the show. You have to tell us something only you know that nobody else knows. So this can be something you recently discovered. It can be a secret. It can be something you fancy. Maybe something new that you enjoy eating or your desire or fantasy. Something that no one else knows. And you're saying it here for the first time.
It can be anything.
Anything. Go for it.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I have a tattoo on my left butt cheek. There you go.
Okay, tell us, what is it about?
So it says your name, like Y-U-R name.
Okay.
But I got it back when I was obviously super younger. And But I could walk around and tell, I could bet people $5 that I have your name tattooed on my butt cheek.
And they wouldn't believe it.
Well, they thought it'd be like their name, but it says actually your name.
Your name. Oh, that is so cool, actually.
Now the whole world knows.
Now the whole world knows. Well, I mean, if you're okay with us having it out there, sure, I can cut it out. Up to you.
No, you're good. Go with it. It's all good.
Love that. Love this episode. Should be one of my top 5, actually top 3. Was good.
Awesome.
So where can people find you if they want to follow you, if they want to get your programs, your retreats, any of that?
The best way is just my name. So whether it's Facebook or Instagram, just type in Derek Newborn. And I keep my social media super organic. So just shoot me a message in there, whether it's to say hi or you want more information or you just want to have a conversation about what you're dealing with, I'll respond. I promise it's me. But just type in Derek Newborn on any of the platforms and I'll pop up.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much, Derek.
Yes. Thank you.
That was amazing. And to you listeners, I hope you had a fantastic time.
Yes.
Just like, because this was very informative, very eye-opening and also soothing, to be honest.
Good.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one. And guys, remember to share, remember to like, remember to leave a rating and reviews and just come back for the next episodes and more. So have a good one and bye.
See you guys.